Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, getting down to business.
For ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
Blue checkmark ass fucks.
We know that the best is yet to come. God bless you and God bless America.
You gotta go down the hole.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
The world is fucking burning.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Nikola Tesla is my boy.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm your boy, Mitch Book. Today we're going to be talking about money, the root of all evil, how they are using it against you, and why we should switch to a different system. To jump right into it, money is value. Value either in work or goods that you have. But money is really the placeholder for that work or goods. We used to use shells, salt, glass beads, wheat, gold. All those are mediums of exchange. But for those things to have value, they have to be valuable, and that's the trust that it has value, that it's actually worth something. The first paper money was actually issued by governments to replace precious metals like gold, silver, copper. People were carrying these metal coins around, and eventually things got to be where you couldn't pay a piece of gold for something. You had to pay like lesser denominations. And instead of carrying around all that metal, they issued paper money that was backed by that metal. It was called the gold standard. And a government or bank could only print or make as much money as they had stored in gold. That made this scarce and it made it valuable. The paper money is kind of like a receipt for a certain amount of gold, or they even had silver notes back in the day. But after that, the money was only worth something because the government said they would be liable, and we all forgot that the paper is just worth nothing, and we have to hold the government liable, and we're not. This system is called fiat currency. Fiat is a Latin for by decree, which means an institution said this is worth a certain amount. It's not actually based on anything. There's a few problems with that. First, it's centralized. It's controlled by a single government or a banking institution. And the most important thing is it's not limited or scarce. They can print as much as they want, and they just have to say that, yeah, this is still worth something because our population, our citizens are gonna work and exchange services and goods for it, so we think it has value. But the more they print, the less it's worth. And the thing most people don't understand is the vast majority of money on Earth right now is all digital. It's just numbers on a computer, numbers in an account. If you added up all the paper money, all the coins, all the dollar bills, it wouldn't even surmount the 10% of what U.S. dollar they say is out there. The amount is almost negligible. In 1971, Richard Nixon canceled the convertibility of the dollar into gold and officially abandoned the gold standard for good. This has led to a crazy amount of inflation, and eventually it will lead to hyperinflation, which will put your dollar value at basically zero. A famous example of this is the Weimar Republic. In the 1920s, they went through a hyperinflation rate, and their money was useless. It was no good. A 5 million mark coin from the Weimar Republic in January of 1923 was worth roughly $720-something. In October of that same year, that coin would be worth 1/1000th of a cent. Nothing. The Federal Reserve can increase the amount of money in the market because they are the central banking system of the United States. They control the monetary flow. This will lead eventually to inflation and then hyperinflation. We've already seen tons of inflation. Your dollar bill doesn't have the buying power it did 20 years ago. If you inherited $100,000 from your grandfather in 1971 and you kept it under your mattress, you buried it, by the year 2006, that $100,000 would have less than 20% of its original value. Yeah, it's still $100,000, but $100,000 in 1971 can buy you a lot more stuff than it could in 2006. I want to talk about debt for a little bit and how debt is slavery. This system of making it normal to take out a bunch of student loans, a car loan, a mortgage, and keep racking up this debt because you're never going to make enough to buy a house in cash now, so I'll take this and pay it back in the future. Well, you are paying with your future time because time is the prerequisite for everything. The hours that you put in at work or put into a business that you make, or maybe you buy a house and start renting it out and get some passive income, but you're still putting time into that. So money is time, and debt is stealing your future time, which makes you a slave. It's really a shame how they encouraged entire generations to go to college, get a degree, and you'll come out having a real good job making tons of money. When in reality, you could go to a trade school for a lot less time, a lot less money, come out of school making a lot more money than a lot of people that went and got degrees. Getting a bachelor's degree has become more like the new high school GED, you know, like it's the new standard. And the return of investment on a college degree is just terrible. Like, I don't recommend anyone go to college if you're just going to get some degree and take out $60,000-$80,000 in loans. Like, that's not worth it. It's better just to get a job, do something, start a business, do anything, than take out hundreds of thousand dollars in loans that you'll never pay back. You'll be a slave to the system forever. Unless we get really lucky and the government decides to eliminate all debt, get rid of the US dollar as it is now, either go back to the gold standard or maybe create a new bill that's based off something like Bitcoin that actually has value. And, you know, they'll just say, oh, all your greenbacks are worth nothing now. We're printing bluebacks. You know, only your blue dollar bills will work. You know, come trade in all your money and we'll eliminate all debt. There is a possibility of that. I want you guys to look into something called NESARA, or GESARA, N-E-S-A-R-A, or G-E-S-A-R-A. And allegedly, this act was passed, and it would do just that, get rid of everyone's debt, go back, new financial system, base it off something actual. I think they were backing it in gold. And allegedly, it was supposed to be brought into action on September 11th, 2001. And then when 9/11 happened, all that information, all the files were destroyed. And they kind of brushed under the rug. Look it up. Go down that rabbit hole yourself. We'll probably have a whole episode on it eventually. It might happen July 4th. Trump might come out, Mount Rushmore with JFK Jr. behind him, announces the new American government system. I don't know. Crazy things are happening. I've heard crazier, but we'll see. Now, getting into Bitcoin, I just want to answer a few questions that I always hear when people ask me about Bitcoin. They ask, what is it? Like, there's nothing physical you can touch. And I say, well, yeah, that's true. Bitcoin is really just a bunch of computers that have a ledger book. And Bitcoin's transactions are just changing that worldwide ledger to make your account say a higher value or lesser value if you're sending it. And the way this works is there's thousands and thousands of computers all over the world in this network, and you can see different addresses and their different balances, and it can't be changed. If you change one, the other 100,000 of them are going to say something different. So you'll never really hold any Bitcoin. You just have an account, and you have your private keys, your signatures, your codes for that account that say you have a certain amount, and no one can take that from you. No bank, no company can freeze that account. That's a worldwide decentralized bank ledger, basically. Bitcoin started on October something, I forget the date, 2008, when the white pages of Bitcoin, which is basically the blueprints of it, was published by Satoshi Nakamoto. Now, no one knows who this person or group is. It's a pseudonym. The first transaction for Bitcoin was about 2 years later. Someone posted on a messaging site online, "I will give someone 10,000 Bitcoin for a couple pizzas." And it happened. Someone brought him over two pizzas and he transferred 10,000 Bitcoin. It was the first transaction on the blockchain. That 10,000 Bitcoin in 2010 is now worth over $100 million in today's current value of Bitcoin. I think that's enough for me. Quick word from our sponsor and then we'll jump into the interview. Hey everybody, today we're going down the rabbit hole with one of my good friends, Gabe. Gabe graduated with a degree in mathematics, formerly worked as a banker, and is currently self-employed as a financial coach. So if you're looking for someone to help you with money, Gabe's your guy. How are you doing today, Gabe?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. I want to start by saying that there's no question our current debt-based financial system won't last forever. My first question to you is, what's the biggest problem with the system today? Why is it doomed to fail?
Yeah, absolutely. So, getting into Bitcoin and just studying the financial system that we have today, it really just shows, you know, going back through the history, the monetary history, what we've done on this planet as far as money goes. This is just basically the same thing that has happened all throughout history. It's really nothing new, but we kind of call it, you know, different things today and things like that. But we use what's called fiat currency today, which just means that it's completely backed by the power of the government and really nothing else besides that.
Ever since we got off the gold standard.
Yeah, exactly. We can go down through the lines of monetary history, which is really how you get down the rabbit hole of getting into Bitcoin, is asking yourself, what is money? And, you know, you come to some conclusions about, you know, the current system.
Yeah, the U.S. dollar is just a piece of green paper that we just believe has value. It doesn't really have any intrinsic value, in my opinion. But how does Bitcoin fix this? How does Bitcoin have actual value?
Yeah, sure. So as far as fiat currency goes, the reason, like Mitch said, it has no intrinsic value, I actually don't believe in the term intrinsic value. You know, everything has subjective value based on your current circumstances. You know, there's no value without a person there actually to value it. But as far as fiat currency goes, governments basically, like Mitch said, co-opted gold and created this standard of which they can just they can print money as they deem necessary to fulfill the needs that, you know, they think are relevant, and usually at the expense of the rest of the people. And the reason that Bitcoin fixes this is because it is an open source project. It is absolutely scarce. I like to think of Bitcoin as the discovery of absolute scarcity, which is going to play a very big part in the changing of the financial system. And yeah, Bitcoin basically just fixed this problem because it can't be controlled by anybody. It's decentralized, and you know, you can audit the code for yourself, and it's really out of the control of people like governments.
Yes, for sure. On scarcity, I want to talk about stock to flow ratio.
Yeah.
And that's the total amount available of something divided by the amount produced yearly. And the higher that ratio is the more scarce it is. And Bitcoin just went through a halving and did it surpass gold in scarcity, or is it equal to gold now?
So it's basically equal to gold right now. Yeah, you can think of as the stock to flow ratio as like the inverse of the inflation rate. So, you know, we think of like the U.S. dollar gets inflated at about 2% a year.
Yeah, they just printed what, like $6 trillion?
Oh yeah, they're printing just trillions of dollars. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, so gold historically has had about a 1-2% inflation rate. You know, we produce about 1-2% of the total supply of gold each year. We mine that out of the ground. And now Bitcoin at this point in its life is at the same inflation rate as gold. So every day right now, there are 900 new Bitcoin produced. And then in 4 years, about 4 years from now, that'll get cut in half again to 450 per day. And that just keeps happening until there's no more produced.
Right. Right now, there's about, what, 18 million point something available right now.
That's right.
And there's only going to be 21 million available ever.
That's right. Here's something to kind of keep in perspective. So the final amount, the final Bitcoin will be mined in the year around 2140. Between the year 2100 and 2140, there will be a total of one Bitcoin mined.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. So, I mean, 99% of the supply of Bitcoin is about to be mined. I believe it's by the end of this decade. So, you know, it's coming up fast. You know, the scarcity of this thing just keeps getting stronger and stronger. And I think that that's just going to become an economic reality for everybody, is that, you know, there's never been an asset like this that has had absolute scarcity. And people are just going to start to wake up to that.
I totally agree. Actually, absolute scarcity, I want to talk about that. Robert Breedlove's paper, The Number Zero in Bitcoin, you recommended to me, I recently read it. It quotes, a grand ideological shift that foreshadowed Bitcoin was the idea of zero. And zero broke the church's grip on humanity, just like absolute scarcity of money is breaking the Fed's grip on the world today. And I love that.
Yeah.
I'm down with Federal Reserve. I think it was one of the worst things ever created.
Yeah. They call it The Creature of Jekyll Island. It's a pretty interesting story. It's a good book you should read sometime. But yeah, Robert Breedlove is one of my favorite writers and thinkers on Bitcoin. He has some great stuff. And yeah, absolutely. Just there's without a doubt, you know, governments are going to start to realize it, and people are going to start to realize it, that the scarcity of Bitcoin is just something that we've never seen before. And it's really going to have an effect on the control of the monetary system that governments that the governments impose on everybody around the world, to really the detriment of most of society.
Would you call yourself a Bitcoin purist?
Yeah, the term that we've come to use, I guess, in the Bitcoin community is maximalist, Bitcoin maximalist. I really think of myself as just a freedom maximalist, I guess. And I like to call Bitcoin, freedom money, because, you know, it gives you control over the most important commodity, the most important thing in society. With our global society, money is really just the most important thing, and Bitcoin gives you control over that, yeah.
Now, when I talk to people about Bitcoin, one of the things I hear most often is that there are thousands of other cryptocurrencies that have been created since Bitcoin. Why isn't one of these going to come and improve on Bitcoin system and become the front runner?
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about this question. when I talk to a lot of people about Bitcoin, you know, they get all caught up in really the technical aspect of it. They think about, oh, I don't understand computers. I don't understand code. How could I ever come to understand this thing that is completely native to computers and coding into the internet? But what's really separates Bitcoin from anything else that we've ever seen before is the power of the idea behind it. The idea of Bitcoin is actually what gives it value. And what people will come to understand is that Bitcoin is an unstoppable idea. Much like, you know, you can't go out and discover electricity again. You know, we harness the power, like Ben Franklin harnessed
Bitcoin
the power.
Is first, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people say, well, Bitcoin, like, you know, there, you don't use the first of, like, the first car wasn't the best thing that you used. But that's just not true in this case, because the idea is really what makes Bitcoin as special as it is and as unique as it is. So, for example, there's actually a real-world case of this. Anyone could right now go out, and actually people do this, you know, very frequently. You can go out and you can fork the code of Bitcoin and change the rules to whatever way you see fit.
That's like Bitcoin Cash.
Exactly, and Bitcoin Cash is actually, it's the example of why what we're talking about right now just isn't possible, is because you know, like I said, you can go out and you can fork Bitcoin yourself and create your own rules for it, but that doesn't mean people are going to follow you. Really, the idea of Bitcoin, it can't happen again. The way that Bitcoin came into existence and gained security and gained influence over, you know, over people and was able to influence people to its idea was that it is a one-time discovery of absolute scarcity. And it has already developed network effects that really can't be stopped because people just aren't going to jump on board with these new ideas. Instead, they're going to go to what's already the strongest, what's already has the best security. And so these other coins are basically just like thinking of alchemy to gold. You know, people tried to recreate gold using all the, you know, all these formulas and things with alchemy. Hey, it's just not possible.
Alchemy is something completely different than that. People might think it's turning metals into gold, but that's for another pod. We'll talk about that later. Right now, the price of Bitcoin is around $9,600 with a market cap of about $176 billion. What do you think the highest amount that those could reach?
Yeah, for sure. So we typically see, you know, a large spike in the price within, you know, about 18 months, a year after each halving event. And, you know, this is the third halving that just took place, you know, a couple weeks ago.
We're in the fourth Bitcoin era.
Epic era, yeah.
Epoch,
yeah, exactly. So I am expecting, you know, a large run-up within the next, you know, 14 months or so, until the end of next year, basically.
I'm right there with you.
For sure, we're going to see a large run-up. You know, I don't like to really... I have such a long-term view on this that... you know, the price is something that will, you know, affect the minds of most people, but, you know, we might see 5 times, 10 times the last all-time high, which puts, you know, at about 100K, 200K. I expect people to come to value Bitcoin in this next wave on the same level as gold. And gold has approximately a $10 trillion market cap or something like that. But I basically see gold as just demand for something that is outside of the system, something that can't be controlled really by governments. And so all of that demand and all of the market cap for gold really is just something that, you know, Bitcoin can satisfy even better. So I expect it to compete with gold.
I'm on board with anything that says fuck the government. 100% on
board. No doubt, man.
No doubt. All right. One of my last questions is, okay, what is your advice to a young person starting to invest in their future? How should they go about investing?
Yeah, absolutely. First things first, I really think people just need to learn about personal finance. You know, right now it's very common for anyone to just have thousands of dollars of credit card debt. People will...
Stupid.
Yeah, and you know, like people, you go out and like, that is just the norm, you know. But there is a reason why 50% of people in America can't afford, you know, a several hundred dollar emergency. Primarily because of the system, yes, that we currently have, which is something that Bitcoin will solve. But it's also a lot to do with, there is just absolutely no education on personal finance.
We weren't even taught to balance a checkbook in high school.
It just doesn't even make sense. Yeah, you have to go out, you have to learn how to budget your money. Yep. You have to understand, you know, what you're bringing in. Your income is your most powerful wealth building tool. I would say follow your passions, try to start, you know, things on the side. The internet just provides so many opportunities now to make an extra income or something that you can turn into a career. So I would suggest, you know, finding a job that can provide you steady income, focus on educating yourself about personal finance. And then I see no better investment at this time for a young person than Bitcoin.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. The simplest advice for investing in Bitcoin, I say... Stacks, stay humble, stack stats, that's what we say. The easiest way, just buy a little bit, whatever you're comfortable with, a little bit each week, each
Whether
month.
It's $5, $50, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you can afford to that you're just very comfortable with taking a risk on, go ahead.
Right there with you, bud.
Stack some sats. You know, Bitcoin is the fastest growing asset in human history. There is just absolutely no reason why any financial advisor, any financial planner should tell you anything other than to allocate at least a small portion of your net worth to Bitcoin. So, you know, if you keep a long-term mindset about really everything.
HODL.
HODL, exactly.
A lot of people don't even know what HODL is.
No.
Hold on for dear life.
Man. They'll learn. So keep a long-term mindset and just, stack some sats, man.
All right, Gabe. That was great. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have you on a lot more.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk about this stuff. I hope
might add a Bitcoin corner to the podcast.
Heck yeah.
It's 5 minutes every episode.
Down the rabbit hole, man. There's no rabbit hole deeper than the Bitcoin rabbit hole. Yeah. And I don't know if we'll ever reach the... I don't know if we'll ever reach the end of it, man. So...
Well, I can get you in some deep conspiracies. And it might be a little deeper, but... I'm all for it, man. That was awesome.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That was a really fun interview. I love talking Bitcoin and money with Gabe. He's very, very knowledgeable on the subject. And there's plenty more to learn. You can always pick up a new book or watch a new video or just talk to someone. And I encourage all of you to take the journey for yourself and secure yourself some Bitcoin, because absolute scarcity is the future of money. And once you understand that, you'll buy. I know you will. Hope everyone has a good 4th of July. And enjoy what's to come. Fight the good fight. The truth is out there. Take it away, Mulder.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.